There is a delightful pun at play in our Old Testament lesson. We read in this passage from Joshua that the people have finished their 40 years of desert wanderings, and they are now on the threshold of entering into the promised land. And as this is about to happen, the Lord says to Joshua, "Today, I have rolled away from you the disgrace of Egypt." And so the place is called Gilgal to this day. Now, Gilgal was a geographical location where the people consecrated themselves to be made ready to go into the promised land. But the name Gilgal means to roll away, to roll away. With that in mind, hear again the Lord's word to Joshua. "Today I have rolled away from you the disgrace of Egypt." Rolled away. Is this creating any associations in your mind? What other place was like Gilgal? Indeed, it was the Garden of Resurrection, where the stone was rolled away. And in that garden, we have the culmination of such disgrace, the complete dereliction of the Son of God as he experienced it on the cross. Here is the epitome of disgrace. Now think with me about this word disgrace. What does it mean? It means to be void of grace, to be without grace, nada. Jesus, the one who is full of grace, was willing to experience the full effects of disgrace so that we, who have been disgraced by the power of sin, can have the weight of sin rolled away from our lives and say with St. Paul, "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Jesus took onto himself our disgrace. And this is at the heart of all of Paul's writings. It goes through all of his epistles. The one who is full of grace became full of disgrace so that we who are full of disgrace may become filled with his grace. And in our gospel for today, what Paul speaks about theologically, our Lord talks about as a narrative. And in this story, I want to show you that there are two sons who experience disgrace. One, the younger son, has that disgrace rolled away from him, but watch the stone because it's coming to the older brother and it's going to roll over him and flatten him. So let's think about the disgrace of the younger son. And Jesus speaks about this in a most exaggerated way. We're told, first of all, that the son has gone far away from home to a distant country. Now, distant country in Greek, the language that the New Testament was written in, is pronounced this way, korma marka. It almost sounds like an Indian dish, korma marka, but it's not. What korma marka means is the great, wide, open emptiness. Let me say that again. The great, wide, open emptiness. That's where this son has gone to. But the disgrace does not end there. We're told that the only work he could get was working for a pig farmer. So you better believe it, as a Jewish boy, he was not texting dad back at home and saying, "Dad, I found a job." Because not only is he feeding the pigs, but when he goes into the fridge, there's nothing there for him, and he would even eat the pig's food. He would pull up a chair next to that trough and dig in. But you know what we're told? We're told that they gave him nothing. Now keep that in mind. They gave him nothing, because I'll return to that in a minute. So here we have this son known as the prodigal son, and prodigal means to waste. And as the story so clearly shows us, this son did waste his inheritance. Jesus puts it vividly when he summarizes his actions this way. He squandered his property on loose living. And here's the irony. The son thought he would find a place of value. The son thought that he, in being freed from dad, would discover himself. Does that sound familiar? And remember what he said to Dad, "Father, give me the share of the property that falls to me." And as I was thinking about this, I thought, this dad needs to go to a parenting course because he gives the kid the inheritance. Why would Jesus put it this way? It's because God, who is full of mercy, will never coerce us. He will not say to us, "You've got to stay with me." He won't try to buy us. We have to freely either choose him or reject him. And here, as this son goes to a distant country, he goes away from the father and becomes absorbed in the world and with himself, which is exactly what sin is all about. Our Holy Father, Pope Francis, in The Joy of the Gospel, the apostolic constitution he wrote soon after he became pope, speaks about contemporary life with this astute observation. Many lives today are pervaded by consumerism and an anguish born of a complacent yet covetous heart, feverishly pursuing frivolous pleasures. Feverishly pursuing frivolous pleasures. That epitomizes this boy. And so many people living in wealthy Western societies today. And then the Pope goes on to say, "And our consciences have been blunted." Now, the next thing that happens is remarkable. This boy's conscience is actually awakened. We're told that he comes to himself, or he comes to his senses. And upon awakening, he feels terrible. He has this interior desolation where he feels fundamentally disgraced. And even before he starts towards home, he says, "I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go home, and I'm going to say to Dad, treat me like one of your servants, because you treat your guys way better than I'm being treated here. But not only that, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." And think about it. It's a long way home. And all the way home, he's thinking, "I'm no longer worthy. I'm no longer worthy. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." Imagine how he felt when he got home. Absolute and total disgrace. But what happens? God, the Father, rolls away this disgrace of Egypt, rolls away the disgrace of that far country. And again, our Holy Father, in speaking about what is happening in the lives of many people when they begin to turn back towards the Father, puts it so beautifully, and he puts it as a prayer. "Jesus, Lord, I have let myself be deceived. In 1,000 ways, I have shunned your love. Yet here I am once more to renew my covenant with you. I need you. Save me once again. Lord, take me once more into your redeeming embrace." Isn't that beautiful? And then our Holy Father says, as we come to experience this embrace, how good it feels to come back to him whenever we are lost. Let me say this once more. God never tires of forgiving us. We are the ones who tire of seeking his mercy. And so how about you today? How do you identify with this younger son? What is the story? What is the mantra you tell yourself? Is it one of self-judgment and condemnation? Or is it one where you're able to know the Father's embrace? And you can say, "God never tires of forgiving me. Thanks be to God, I know what it is to have that stone rolled away. And I know the freedom of what it is to be at Gilgal." But as I said at the beginning of my homily, sadly, that stone, watch it, because it's rolling from the younger son to the older son, and it crushes him. Because you see, this older son is also full of disgrace. But it's very different from that of the younger son. You see, this older brother, is so absorbed with an attitude of pride and self-righteous disdain for his brother, and he thinks his brother is a disgrace to the family, and he harbors such bitterness of heart that he ends up being crushed. And we get the essence of this when he says to his father, "But when this son of yours," notice he doesn't even refer to him as my brother anymore, "this son of yours, who has devoured your living with harlots, you killed for him the fatted calf. Remember I said disgrace is to be completely void of grace? This person is full of disgrace because there is no generosity in his heart, only vitriol. And again, turning to our Pope, in the joy of the gospel, he cautions all of us who have a tendency to be like this older brother. There are Christians whose lives seem like Lent without Easter. I realize, of course, that joy is not expressed the same way at all times in life, especially in moments of great difficulty. Joy adapts and changes, but it always endures. Even as a flicker of light born of our personal certainty that when everything is said and done, we are infinitely loved. Sadly, this older son could not receive his father's grace, expressed in what is the key to the whole parable. Son, you're always with me, and all that is mine is yours. In other words, the father is saying, you are infinitely loved. But remember what happened in that distant country? They gave that younger son nothing. And the sad thing is, with his older son, although he's at the very heart of generosity and grace, what does he say to his father? You didn't give me anything. So what about you? Are you inclined to say to God, you don't give me anything? Or are we, with the Pope, able to say, even in the midst of life's challenges and difficulties, we know we are infinitely loved. We know that we belong. And it's beautiful on this Laetare Sunday that the church actually has a party song for us to sing. It's called the Introit of the Mass. And this introit so beautifully captures what this gospel is about. Let me read part of it. Rejoice, O Jerusalem, and come together, all you that love her. Rejoice with joy, you that have been in sorrow, that you may exult and be filled. Listen to this next bit. I rejoiced at the things that were said to me. We shall go into the house of the Lord. Such was the experience of that younger son. So at this midpoint of Lent, we look forward to the Garden of Resurrection, the greatest Gilgal of them all, where the stone of disgrace is rolled away and the Lord of grace breaks forth. As the gospel declares, and as Father Jerome said in his pastor's perspective this week, and I want to quote this because it just summarizes everything so beautifully, truly, the joy that yearns to live and bubble forth from our hearts is one that seeks to convey before others how outside of our Heavenly Father's love for us, as exemplified through the life, death, and resurrection of his beloved Son, there exists nothing other than a lonely emptiness that nothing can fill. The great distant country or the soul of the older son. We, who have freely chosen to be in our Father's house of worship this day, listen to this, are invited to rest our weary souls in the comforting embrace of our loving Father. Such was the choice of the prodigal son. Such was the choice of St. Paul. He knew that the stone of disgrace had been rolled away when he announced, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new.